What's up, listeners? Welcome to this edition of Let Me Just Say This. This is going to be a very special edition because not only am I on spring break and I get the whole damn week off, but I get to enjoy it with my wife, Karen, and she's going to be my co-host for this episode. What's up, babe?
Hey, babe. I'm super excited.
How excited are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Probably a 10.
Yeah, right. Ladies and gentlemen, I actually had to force Karen to do this because...
That's not true. I wanted to do it.
Well, listen, I was going to reflect on Captain Marvel on my own, but I figured, you know what? Let me use my most valuable asset, my beautiful wife.
Of course.
Because we talk shit all the time, every day, about various topics. So we just saw Captain Marvel in the movie theater last night. We brought our five... He's almost five. Yeah, we brought Tate with us.
And,
it's interesting.
Interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, you know, Tate is slowly building up his tolerance for live action features, but you know what? During the dialogue sequences, he cannot sit still.
Yeah, I had to get up for potty breaks.
You know, just a quick tidbit. When Tate, this is just a quick side note for the listeners. When Tate actually heard one of the songs, I forgot which song it was. It might have been when during the scene when they played Come As You Are by Nirvana.
It was the Nirvana, yeah.
Yeah, he gets up from his seat. He starts dancing. And I'm like, this kid better sit his ass down.
we're
such parents. Anyway, on to Captain Marvel. Yes. Let's get into it. So Captain Marvel was directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. I believe this is the first MCU film to be directed by both a female and a male director, because we know that the Russo brothers, they work in a tandem, obviously, with Infinity War, Captain America Civil War, as well as Captain America Winter Soldier, and not to mention the upcoming Avengers Endgame. We are so hyped for that, aren't we?
Yes.
Listen.
We're really excited.
Tate is not coming with us for that.
No, we will not be bringing our 5-year-old for that one.
No, and the reason why is because
no
if
body
he,
breaks.
Yeah, if he can barely sit through a 2-hour film like Captain Marvel, I highly doubt he's going to be able to sit through 3 hours. And listen, I do not want to be interrupted for bathroom breaks and none of that stuff. But anyway, I digress. So my overall thoughts on the film, you know what? If I'm going to give it a letter grade, because I just like doing letter grades, that's just what I do. I'm a teacher, right? So I would give it a B. This is a solid B for me. I thought it was very unique, very different, and I like its unorthodox approach to its narrative. And that's something that we haven't really seen in any MCU films, because usually the Marvel Studios pictures, they follow the same type of formula as far as plot devices and things like that. You know, they just flow. They kind of flow organically. Captain Marvel, for like the first 30 minutes, I don't know about you, but I felt like it was a little confusing to follow just what the hell was going on. What did you think about that? Like that first...
A lot of the jumping back and forth with her memories and...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... I mean, you kind of get the gist of it. I mean, once you're... yeah, you kind of get it. I mean, once I was actually watching it, like when they were doing like the kind of jumping, and I was kind of confused in the beginning, but you kind of catch on quickly if you're... Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not one of those things where you needed background knowledge as a comic book fan.
Yeah.
And you didn't need to know about her history, because I'm not that familiar with Captain Marvel. Just more of... My familiarity is more of a surface level kind of thing. So, you know, in that regard, it gets a little confusing, but the story really starts to unfold once Veers, as she's called, she's trying to piece things together from visions that she's having, dreams that she's having of all these different memories, and it doesn't make sense. She's really questioning her identity. Is she a Kree or is she a human being? So as the story begins to unfold, it starts to make more sense. But we'll get into that a little more later in the episode. But overall, I thought it was, again, a very solid addition to the MCU. It was very different. I appreciate how different it was. So I give it a B. What letter grade would you give it, babe?
Yeah, I'd go with a B. Yeah.
No B minus, no C plus.
No, I think a solid B works. Yeah.
Yeah, and
I mean, yeah, it was good. I mean, I don't, yeah.
Now, would you say it was great? Would you say it was amazing?
No, I wasn't blown away. I mean, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, yeah. wasn't something that I'm gonna, you know, go crazy for, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think I share your sentiment too, because we walked out the movie theater last night like, you know what, that was really enjoyable.
You know, I did have to think about it though, because after I, you know, after you first see it, I didn't quite get like I didn't feel any type of reaction towards it. So remember when we came home last night, I kept saying, you know, I keep reflecting on the movie and keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, what parts I liked, what I didn't like, what worked, what didn't work, or, you know, things like that. I think it's one of those things you have to reflect on more after you watch it and maybe see it again. You have to watch it maybe more than once to really.
Yeah, you see, I totally agree with you, because when we walked out the movie theater, I thought the exact same thing too. And even as we were driving home, I'm saying to myself, you know what, I think I want to see it again. Mm-hmm. Sometime soon, not so much in the movie theater, but I just want to watch it again, because there may have been things that we didn't pick up on, because there was a lot going on in first half. Mm-hmm. Just a lot going on. I thought it was solid, and we're just going to take a short break before we get into the rest of the film, so stay tuned. All right, we're back. Carol Danvers is trying to piece together dreams of memories that she's having from a past life. And I think that was the confusing part, because if you didn't have any prior knowledge, or at least not enough prior knowledge of Captain Marvel and her identity, you were kind of trying to figure out whether she was a human being just like she was. And I think that's a testament to Brie Larson's acting too, because I've been reading and hearing from other people who've seen the movie that Brie Larson's performance is, it can be a bit hit or miss. What do you think of Brie Larson's performance, babe?
I really enjoyed it. I think they casted her perfectly. I think she was great. Honestly, I had no Brie Larson herself. Like, actually, you know, the performance was, yeah, it was solid. I don't think there was anything wrong with her at all.
Yeah, I thought it was really solid too, but
what are other people saying though? I mean,
well, no, there were, for me, in my opinion, there were certain parts of the film where I felt like her performance was a bit clunky, okay, and uneven, where I didn't really know whether to take her serious, or I didn't know if she was supposed to be, mm-hmm, like this sort of stoic kind of person.
That's interesting. I mean, because I'm not really, you know, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not a big movie buff, and I don't analyze characters like that and whatnot. So I'm coming from a different, you know, view, more of where I just watched it, I enjoyed it, and, you know, here's my little, you know, picky here and, you know, my little picks here and there. But I really didn't think anything was wrong with it at all. I didn't see anything that I would, you know, that would be obvious, I guess, to just the average viewer, you know?
Yeah, I think her stoicness, for lack of a better term, I think that has more to do with the character than her as an actress. Mm-hmm. But again, that's a testament to her abilities though, because she had me entertained the whole time. And all I kept thinking about as I was watching this film was, wow, she was literally perfect for this role. And
can
that's
we talk about how great her hair was the whole
time? Yeah, I know. Her hair was awesome. I'm like, babe, why can't you do that with your hair more often?
Okay, please, okay. All right. I don't know how she kept those curls the whole time after every action scene, but I need her hairstylist. I really need it.
Well, that's why she gets paid the big bucks for, right? Yeah, I mean, she was perfect, and that it just prolongs Marvel Studios' great track record of just casting the right actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, this goes back to Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, and then Chris Evans as Captain America, Chris Hemsworth as Thor. All of those guys are synonymous with their roles now. Mm-hmm. Yes, Brie Larson was already well known. She's an Academy Award winner, for crying out loud. But she is, from this point forward, always going to be synonymous with Captain Marvel, because there's just something about her. And I'm sorry, babe. You know me. I'm a big fan of Brie Larson.
Who isn't he a fan of?
Oh, boy. I guess I'm sleeping on the couch tonight, right?
Oh, my goodness.
Let's talk a little bit about the Stan Lee tribute at the beginning, because we know it's a regular thing for whenever these Marvel Studios movies begin. You have that little opening graphic.
Yeah, like the comic book flipping pages.
Yeah, right.
All of them.
Yeah.
And I loved what they did with it.
Yeah, this one featured just Stan Lee. So it had a graphic and a montage of Stan Lee's previous cameo appearances in all the other Marvel Studios movies.
Said, thank you, Stan, whatever, Stan Lee. And,
yeah. And it said, there was a little inner title that said, thank you, Stan.
I wonder if they're going to do that going forward with the rest of the films.
You know what? That's actually a good point. They might actually do that again with Endgame. Yeah. And especially, I could see them doing that with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Did he make a cameo in Endgame? Does he have one?
Yes.
Okay.
Endgame actually features his very last cameo before he passed.
Look at that.
I know. It was a very fitting tribute, and it was, quite honestly, it was a little bit of a tearjerker. And I thought it was just a very fitting tribute. And the film itself actually has one of his last cameos. The scene where Captain Marvel, she's going after one of the Skrulls. And as she's... Because the Skrulls, just to take a step back, the Skrulls can shapeshift...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
The whole thing, if you haven't been watched it yet.
Well, if you're listening to this episode, there will be spoilers. Just putting it out there. So, the Skrulls, they're this alien race who has a rivalry with the Kree, and they can shapeshift into any form that they come into contact with. So, as she's searching the train, she's surveying the train, she comes across an old man reading a book who's obviously Stan Lee, and she gives him like a nod, sort of a grin, kind of wink. And I love that because it was almost as if, obviously, when he filmed that cameo, we didn't know that he was going to die, but it was almost as if like she nodded at him and was winking as if to say, oh, I know who you are. Like, what did you gather from that cameo?
You know, and that's one thing we don't know. We don't know if she filmed, how they filmed that, if maybe they added her in winking to him after he passed, or could that be possible? No, it was already filmed, or...
Yeah, I don't think there were any reshoots. Okay. No, because that would have been too soon for reshoots, because he just died in December,
so,
I think.
So then, okay, so yeah, so that was kind of like, I don't know, you know, because it's kind of like he passed, she waited, it looked kind of like a goodbye type wink, like giving him credit, acknowledging him.
Exactly.
Type of, like, you know, you felt it. It was kind of like usually they don't do that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's, yeah, right. They don't, that's what I'm saying.
They've never had, like, because usually he makes his cameos and it's just him, you know, nobody ever acknowledges him like that. You know, none of the Avengers or characters, whatever. And she, like, literally pulled down his thing, acknowledged him, like he was there.
Yeah,
so
it's true.
So it's kind of different.
It's almost as if to say, you the man.
Yeah, I was like giving him his credit, almost.
Yeah, as if to say thank you.
And so I thought it was interesting. That's what I thought, where it came from. But, I mean, you know what? It could have just been something that just kind of flowed and that's the way it went. And, you know, they put that in there. And because usually I feel like if they were on the train, they would have just made a cameo with him, just like pull down his newspaper and say something stupid or funny,
and
then she would have just kept it moving or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it was a very timely cameo, which it makes me wonder what his cameo is going to be like in Endgame. That should be a really interesting one, seeing as how it's his final one. Babe, I'm just letting you know, we need to bring some Kleenex. We need to bring some Kleenex to the theaters for that one.
I always have Kleenex.
Remember, I was crying like a bitch when we saw Infinity War. Like, towards the end, I was like, what happened to Spider-Man?
Well, come on, Spider-Man was...
Still cry when we watch it over and over. I still cry.
Especially as a parent, you see this little teenager, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, what's happening to me, please? I don't want to go.
All right, let's not go there.
Yeah, anyway, babe, we need to get on this company called Brandless. And I think the listeners will get a treat after hearing this this little ad.
Alrighty.
'90s nostalgia was in full effect in Captain Marvel. All throughout, you had some really good 90s references, some interesting Easter eggs, and just a lot of nostalgia where I was like, what? I remember that, but I haven't thought about that in so long. Like, for instance, Blockbuster Video. That was awesome because Blockbuster, I think it's out of business now, but nowadays you have everything so readily available, so this current generation will never know what it was like to actually have to go to the video store whenever you wanted to watch a new movie. Because I was born in 1988, So I grew up in the 90s. That was my entire childhood. When were you born, Karen?
In 92.
Yeah, I'm going to pretend like I didn't know. Yeah, so you were a child in the 90s, right?
Yes, yes.
Or at least the first half of your childhood.
Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, we experienced Blockbuster. I mean, everything in the movie, obviously, you know, I grew up with. So it was pretty cool.
How awesome was it when she used the search engine Alta Vista?
Oh my god, we were cracking up.
Like Alta Vista, I remember when I got my first computer in the year 2000. I had Windows ME.
That was super funny, especially because it took a long time. And you know how the internet worked back then, and it was so funny because everything had to load and it took forever.
Yeah.
And interesting fact, remember I told you yesterday while we were watching the movie, the internet actually turned 30 yesterday. So that was pretty timely. It was funny.
Coincidentally, the internet turned 30 the day we watched Captain Marvel.
So it was pretty funny. Yeah, but I know you don't even think like that's something of days of the past. Like you don't even think about the search engine anymore. You don't think about like floppy disks and shit like that. I mean, it's
I know. And Alta Vista was like one of the first big ones, because this was before Google was really big. Like I remember when I first started using computers and the internet was really blowing up, it was mostly Alta Vista. Yahoo was like the main search engine. There were a couple of other ones too.
That was pretty cool.
But I thought that was like a little cool reference.
Also, you know, it's so funny because at the end of like Infinity War, he has a pager. Like, who the hell in 2019 or whatever year? I mean, they're already in like 2018.
Yeah, yeah.
Day and age has a pager. So then you wonder, like, where the hell did the fucking pager come from?
Yeah.
And then it shows, I mean, it's all the way from in the 90s when he was, you know, and it's funny because nobody uses a pager.
Yeah, and what's funny is that cool. Nick Fury says, oh, this is a state-of-the-art two-way pager. Yeah, because this film takes place in 1995, so everybody, pagers were hot at the time. I mean, I was too young to have one, you were obviously too young to have one, but that's what you saw all the adults carrying, a nice little beeper, little pager. Other 90s nostalgia references, the music.
Yes.
Had a really nice soundtrack. I wasn't that surprised when Nirvana came on. Because he obviously Kurt Cobain was a huge part of the early to mid 90s, but that was so dope when Come As You Are came during that scene with when she finally meets what's her face. I forget the character's name, but you've got a really nice 90s soundtrack here with REM, No Doubt. Anything else you can recall as far as music is concerned? Mm-mm. Not a lot of hip hop, which surprised me.
No, that's not really surprising because she's more
white. What are you gonna say? She's white?
No, really? No, it was more because she's like more punk, you know, like more gritty type. I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't very.
Well, I mean, you could have played. They could have had Jump Around.
Well,
in the
TLC.
Film. Well, they had TLC, that's right. They had what was it, Waterfalls or
That was funny, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a nice 90s nostalgia trip, but you can only appreciate it if you actually grew up in the 90s, just like with any film that has that type of nostalgia, whether it's the 80s, 90s, so on and so forth. Now, moving on to the de-aging technology. This shit was so crisp.
Samuel Jackson, at least, yeah.
Samuel Jackson, you could not tell for one second that there was any hint of computer-generated imagery on that face. He literally looked like Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction or something. Like, he looked so young, and it's just amazing because I know that now studios are going to be utilizing that a lot more when they want to tell a narrative that takes place 20 years prior to current events, or 15 years, or even 40 years. Mm-hmm. It's just going to be very interesting. Now, what I must say is that I was not a fan of the de-aging technology for Greg Clark. Clark Gregg. He has two first names, Phil Coulson. Yeah, he literally has two first names. But anyway, Clark Gregg, who plays Agent Phil Coulson. His wasn't as convincing. It just looked like bad. It just looked like very forced CGI.
Yeah, I agree.
And I remember you asking me, you were whispering to me like, oh, did they use it on him too? Because it looks kind of funny.
Yeah, that's what I asked you. I said, does it? They do the same thing? Because it's just, it didn't work out very well for him. Nah.
I mean, it didn't look terrible.
No, it didn't look terrible.
But it just didn't look as crisp and as fluid, you know, as Samuel Jackson.
Like they pounded him with makeup.
So exactly.
Yeah, it looks like they took like his regular character and just pounded him with a bunch of makeup to make him look really young.
Yeah, it looked more like makeup than CGI, which, you know what? That's how spoiled we've become in the 21st century. Because if this was a film that came out 25, 30 years ago,
they would have only done it makeup.
Yeah, they would have had to use makeup and prosthetics and a whole bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the fact that this movie really showcases Captain Marvel in all her glory as a superhero.
Yeah.
Because you know how with certain origin stories, you only get like a snippet of their powers? This one, they allowed Captain Marvel to go all out.
Which I'm glad they did that because, I mean, we're expecting her to like save the world in Endgame. So, I mean, at least that's what they're leading us to believe. She's going to have a huge role in it and... if she is not powerful enough, I mean, we need someone who can beat Thanos, so.
Yeah.
She looks like she can do some damage.
Yeah, Thanos just eradicated half the universe. So if Captain Marvel is going to be the quote-unquote savior, yeah, they needed to absolutely showcase her powers in all their glory. She just went ham towards the end, like just... she was just having fun at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, once Carol Danvers realizes that she can harness the powers because she's controlling her emotions, she just goes to town
on the
Kree, on their spaceships, and even Ronan the Accuser, who, if you remember, he was the villain in Guardians of the Galaxy, in the first Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So, even he's like, we'll be back. Like, pull back. We're coming back for the weapon. His comrade is just looking at him. He's like, no, like, we're coming back for her because she's like a living weapon. So I really like the fact that for an origin story, they allowed her to flourish and be the threat to Thanos that she's supposed to be, because Endgame, we're only about, what, 5-6 weeks from its release. So,
yes.
Yeah, we can now start to wonder what that battle is going to be like when Captain Marvel actually goes up against Thanos.
Yes.
Now... one of the cons from the film, I thought that the stakes weren't big enough. And part of that has to do with the fact that it is an origin story. Usually when you have a comic book superhero origin story, the stakes aren't going to be as big as in the sequels because, you know, you're just introducing the character to audiences. You're getting them familiar with not just the superhero, but the character behind the superhero, the alter ego. And it just created a sense of predictability for the film, in my opinion, because you know Nick Fury's not going to die. You know that the Kree and the Skrull, you know that conflict is going to be somewhat resolved, or you know that Ronan is going to escape somewhere. So it was predictable in that sense because... You kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, because, yeah, they took it back, and we're already, yeah.
Yeah, awkward pause, huh?
I lost my train of thought. I was listening to you, and I was, like, just looking at you, and I'm listening, and, yeah, I completely forgot where I was going to go with it, but,
Oh, that's all right, babe. It's only your first time.
I know, it's just... I was just gazing in your eyes while you were speaking.
Oh, I was
so
doing. I was doing the same thing.
Yeah, sure.
Wondering if you can turn into Captain Marvel for me.
Oh God.
All right, the last point. Let's talk about that post-credit scene, or I should say the mid-credit scene.
Wait, before we even get to that, can we talk about that cat?
The cat.
The scene stealer. That cat was.
Yes, yes. What the hell was the name of the cat again? I forgot to write the name down. Started with a G, right?
And I don't know why.
Oh man, it's gonna kill me. Listeners, please forgive us. We're drawing a blank on the name of the cat. But the cat, yeah, Google it because your phone
really
is.
I am Googling.
Yeah, so that cat was an absolute scene stealer. Like every time that cat appeared on screen, and the way Samuel Jackson interacted with the cat, it just cracked me up. And even Tate was cracking up too.
Goose,
there you go, Goose. Yeah, so Goose. Oh, man, it's funny because it makes so much sense when you think about all the other Marvel Studios films, how they had Nick Fury had the Tesseract before Loki obtained it in the first Avengers movie. Goose had the fucking Tesseract.
Yeah.
the whole time. And let's take a step back. Isn't it so amazing how they wrote it to where the screenwriters, that is, they wrote it for it to align with all the with the MCU, where Captain Marvel, she got her powers from the Tesseract. How fucking crazy is that? So that makes perfect sense how she would be able to shoot these photon beams out of her arms and actually go head to head with Thanos, because she essentially is a walking Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
When you really think about it.
But I'm actually interested, and I'm sure there's articles out on this too, what, going back to the cat, well, Goose, what he is. What is Goose?
Oh, he's part of an alien race.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's part of an alien race that, you know, spits out tentacles, as we saw in the movie. And it just like this, I forgot what the name of the alien race is, but yeah, it's not a regular cat. It's not your everyday backyard cat snooping around for food. But yeah, let's go into that mid-credit scene. So we get Captain America, Black Widow, Hulk, Rhodey, aka War Machine, and was Thor in that scene? No, he wasn't, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's just those guys. And they somehow obtained that same pager that Nick Fury uses at the end of Infinity War to page Captain Marvel.
I want to see how they got it, how they even...
Yeah, I would love to know how they got their hands on it. So they're sending out the signal to Captain Marvel, and the signal fails. But Black Widow's assisting, I need to see that signal again, because there must be a reason why Nick Fury had this on his priority list, why it was so urgent for him to page this person or this being. And then as she turns around, lo and behold, there's Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, hair all frizzy, and she's like, where's Fury?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And that was awesome, because I think that might actually be... They probably used actual footage from Endgame. Unless it was just a scene that was shot primarily for Captain Marvel. What do you think? Do you think you were actually going to see that scene again in the movie, Endgame?
I'm hoping, and because I want to see what happens. Like, I want to see where it goes, because she looks kind of like... She's, well, he said only page me if it's an emergency, right? So now she's thinking she's coming into what's going on. She doesn't see Fury anywhere. She's kind of like, where is he? She's ready. She looks like she's ready to fight them. Cause she looks like, or she's been fighting already from wherever she's coming from. So I really want to see what happens there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just so excited. This definitely increased my excitement more than anything. And I'm actually wondering when the hell they're going to release another trailer, because this movie's due really soon. So I would expect before the end of the month, we can finally get another trailer. Because, Kevin Feige and the heads at everybody, all the execs at Marvel Studios, they're being extremely tight-lipped about the plot. We haven't even seen Thanos in the teaser trailer, so... It should be very interesting, but any last thoughts on Captain Marvel?
No, I mean, overall, solid. Good movie.
Would you say it's time will tell, but would you put it in, like, your top five?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't put it in my top five. You know, it's good, and also, the whole message with empowering, you know, women and... You know, young girls are going to look up to her now, and
yeah,
be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a good point. It was a bit of a feminist...
It was definitely...
A bit of a feminist film, but...
Yeah.
There were some political undertones there with the Skrulls being refugees.
Looking for a home. Yeah, and just kind of like, yeah, you know, and kind of touched on, like, you know, the women and, yeah.
Yeah, all the issues that are prevalent now in society, like women, immigrants... It did a good job of...
And they put in diversity, too, with her, you know, her best friend, and, you know, they added in a little bit of every... I mean, yeah, but it was definitely a woman, mostly about...
Inclusion.
Inclusion.
Yeah, that's what it's all about now. Yeah. I mean, and which is good.
Of course, it should be, yeah.
Yeah, it should definitely be more inclusive to underrepresented people.
Yeah.
My last thoughts, I thought... Captain Marvel, I would put it over, let's see. You know, I got to be honest with you. I'll put it over the Ant-Man movies. And I like the Ant-Man movies, but I thought this was just a tad better. I would put it over the first two Thor movies. I would also put it over... I think that's about it for now.
Oh,
I have to do an entire retrospect.
I would have to watch it again, really think about it. But I don't know over the second Ant-Man movie because that's
that's kind of
they made that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. But I like how different Captain Marvel was, and it was refreshing, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not gonna be an all-time. One of my all-time favorite Marvel movies or anything like that, but it was very enjoyable. I definitely liked it, and I could see how this movie would probably get somewhat of a cult following years to come.
Yes, I can see that. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Yes, we have bribed our 5-year-old with enough candy to keep him away for a few minutes. He's probably sugared out by now.
Yeah, it's time for lunch. Lunch. It's time for lunch.
Okay, now you're singing Go Noodle. Okay, if you don't know what Go Noodles are, don't worry about it. They are just elementary school kid songs.
Yeah, if you have younger kids, they know what Go Noodle is.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone, and I'm so excited. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on, babe.
And I hope it sounds good and everyone enjoys it.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. they'll enjoy the husband and wife banter.
Okay.
Yeah, so follow me on Instagram at Let Me Just Say This Podcast. Sorry, almost left out that last part. Follow me on Instagram at Let Me Just Say This Podcast. And I should be having a Facebook page coming out relatively soon. So be on the lookout for that. Stream this episode and other episodes, as usual, on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and other streaming platforms. Enjoy the rest of your week, y'all. What's up, listeners? This is Lewis, your host, and as usual, you can catch me on Instagram at Let Me Just Say This Podcast. This is the trailer talk edition of Let Me Just Say This, and I have two extremely colossal movie trailers to discuss in this episode. Avengers Endgame, which is in theaters April 26th. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. And also, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the 9th film by Quentin Tarantino, which is my all-time favorite filmmaker, in theaters July 26th. So stay tuned for trailer talk. Whatever it takes, that is the ultimate tagline for this new trailer for Avengers Endgame. We hear Captain America, Black Widow, and a couple of others say, whatever it takes. These are the remaining Avengers that are left after Thanos snapped his fingers after obtaining all of the Infinity Stones in Infinity War. He eradicated half the universe. These are the remaining heroes. They're devising a plan to kick Thanos' ass. This shit's going to be epic, ladies and gentlemen, and I cannot wait. Endgame is the ultimate culmination of more than a decade of films that are connected. The Marvel Cinematic Universe consists of movies that date back to 2008. I was still in college. It started with Iron Man. Then you had The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, Captain America, the First Avenger, Marvel's The Avengers, which was the first time all the heroes came together, followed by Iron Man 3, Thor, The Dark World, Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Age of Ultron, Ant-Man, Captain America, Civil War, Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, Avengers Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, and now this. It all leads to this. Something that those films all have in common is that yours truly saw each and every one of those films on the big screen. Yes, from 2008 all the way up to 2019, I have seen every single MCU film in the movie theater, whether it was in IMAX or digital 3D or Dolby Cinema or just a regular standard format. So this is going to be a very bittersweet ending. I'm looking forward to that epic battle that they have with Thanos. The trailer doesn't reveal what their plan is, but you know some shit is going to go down. Actually, a lot of shit is going to go down. We don't know if Ant-Man is going to convince his buddies to go into the quantum realm to reverse all the events that happened in Infinity War. We just don't know. And that's the beauty of what Marvel Studios has been doing while promoting Endgame. We've gotten two trailers and we haven't even seen Thanos. We got a little tiny glimpse of Thanos in the teaser trailer for Endgame. We don't see him at all in this trailer. In fact, we see flashbacks of all the previous films that I just mentioned, and I love how they're interwoven with this new footage. We don't get, like I said, we don't get Thanos, and we don't get too many action sequences, but we get such a sense of dread. It's a very ominous trailer, but a hopeful trailer. We hope that the Avengers can do something and save the universe one last time. I think my favorite part of the trailer was when Thanos has a stare down with Captain Marvel and he summons his hammer and she just looks at him with this really dead stare and he's like, I like this one. That is awesome. I can't wait to see the banter between those two. In any case, Avengers Endgame is in theaters April 26th. I anticipate that the tickets will go on sale very soon and those are going to sell out like hotcakes. So go and check out the ultimate culmination of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Phase 1, 2, and 3. Then we'll go into Phase 4, and Marvel Studios are going to tell some new stories. But in any case, it's directed by the Russo brothers. This will be their last outing, presumably, for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Avengers Endgame, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out, April 26th. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, in theaters July 26th. This is the 9th film by Quentin Tarantino. Also, the second to last film of Quentin Tarantino's filmography, because he has announced that he is planning on retiring. I think he's going to do film criticism on a full-time basis and just do some producing here and there. But after Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he will have one last motion picture. The synopsis for this film is that a faded TV actor, Leonardo DiCaprio, and his stunt double, Brad Pitt, strive to achieve fame and success in the film industry during the final years of Hollywood's golden age in 1969 LA. We also get Margot Robbie, who looks exactly like Sharon Tate. She's playing Sharon Tate, who was brutally slain by Charles Manson and his cult. Well, first and foremost, I think this looks fantastic from a star power point of view. We don't really know what the plot is about, but one of the scenes that stands out from this trailer was Brad Pitt interacting with the actor who's playing Bruce Lee. Wow, whoever that actor was, he looked and sounded exactly like Bruce Lee. And we all know that Quentin Tarantino is a huge martial arts fan. He loved kung fu cinema. He was a big fan of Bruce Lee, the Shaw Brothers, etc. So I like how he has essentially a little training slash fight sequence thrown in there. There's some great set pieces. It kind of takes you back, not kind of, it actually takes you back to late 1960s Los Angeles. And you see little glimpses of musicals, westerns, all that kind of stuff that encompassed Hollywood during this time period. There is a big question mark surrounding the whole Sharon Tate and Charles Manson storyline, because Charles Manson is going to be a character in this film. So I'm wondering how Tarantino is going to approach this without being too exploitative. But in any case, I'm really excited for this film, despite the fact that the teaser trailer doesn't really reveal too much. But I'll become even more excited when we get an official trailer in about a couple of months. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is in theaters July 26th. So go and check that out. There you have it, folks. Avengers Endgame in theaters April 26th. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood in theaters July 26th. These are two of my most anticipated films of 2019, so I couldn't be more excited. Check out more trailer talk in the coming weeks and be sure to continue following me and supporting me on Instagram at Let Me Just Say This Podcast. I appreciate all the support. Thank you so much for listening and you guys take care. Peace.